What's going on, Cavi?
Oh, my God. You guys have no idea.
Really? What's going on?
I was just listening to you guys on the ESPN LA app.
Best app there is.
But I was also watching you guys on YouTube simultaneously.
Wow. You're really devoted.
But the whole time, wow. I had my headphones on thinking that I'm going to be talking down the line to Jorge.
I really like the way you pronounce that.
Thank you.
However,
you
said it with an H.
Right at the end.
Yeah, like Bergman.
Right. Like
silent H.
Her Bergman, right. Like Hadel. Bergie, I got to tell you, man. I didn't really hear the Hadel.
There was no the it wasn't Jewish. It wasn't
a chuppah.
No. Somebody named Steve Ramirez, Hadel, who's apparently a sports reporter.
Doesn't
he's
like
got
me.
A blue check mark.
No. Asked, not for long. Not,
yeah. he's losing that.
Ask this rhetorical question. How dumb is Bergman?
Oh, how long do you got?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Pretty stupid. How I'm dumb not really sure.
Hey, I got a Sedano, I got a question for you.
Is Sedano there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sedano. Yeah. George, if you and I were assigned to cover Nets practice, and I think there's a move they can make here to just confuse the hell out of the media. Make Kyrie and M.A. Udoka available immediately in opposite ends of the gym. So they're going at the same time. Where are we going? Are we more interested in hearing from Udoka or hearing from Kyrie?
I think we've already heard what we're going to hear from Kyrie at this stage. So I think you go to Udoka.
I do too. Yeah, I think because he hasn't done any electronic media since he was suspended by the Celtics.
He hasn't done any media other than putting out a statement.
Right. So I think that would be fascinating. But that would be the ultimate zigzag, you know, with the media saying, when can we talk to Udoka? When can we talk to Kyrie? Okay, they're both available right now. One guy's on one side of the gym and the other one's on the other. You guys have at it.
It is the most New York thing to do, right? Like, right. Just make them like pick which one they would want. Although the Knicks actually don't make anyone available at times, so they're sad. So.
And I don't even know what their GM, Leon Rose, sounds like. I've never heard
either.
His voice.
I don't either. I know exactly what he looks like because I've seen him a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I've never heard him. Yeah.
So, generally speaking, John is the one that will pull up a sound clip.
Let me just, for old time's sake, I got something I want to play for you
guys.
Okay,
I've got
favorite part actually, of Super Crosstalk.
I've got something to play for you guys, okay?
Oh.
This is Quentin Tarantino on the Jimmy Kimmel Show talking about perfect movies.
Uh-huh. You said that there are very few perfect movies, and one of them is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
Which surprised me, you know. And what are the other perfect movies?
Well, there's not many of them. That's that just bemoans that the fact that, like, you know, the film art form is hard. And look, when you say perfect movies, you're talking about, you know, any individual person's aesthetic.
Yeah.
But even trying to account for all aesthetics, but a perfect movie kind of crosses all aesthetics to one degree or another. Might not be your cup of tea, but there's nothing you can say to bring it down. And I think Jaws fits into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think The Exorcist fits into that. I think Annie Hall fits into that. I think some people could say Young Frankenstein.
I would say that.
I can understand that. I can understand thinking that.
Yeah.
I could say The Wild Bunch fits into that. All right. And that's not even not a perfect movie. That's not perfect. That its imperfections are part of its glory.
All right. So, I'm the guy that played the sound, and it wasn't really that good. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, it was actually, like, it was Conan you said that was talking to him?
That was Kimmel.
Oh, Kimmel?
Yeah.
And I love both of those guys, and I thought that was a stupid conversation. But all right, keep going.
Tell us how you really feel.
I mean, come on. Perfect. Like, what is perfect?
What is perfect? Well, he said it's very subjective. It's in the eye of the beholder. To you, what's a perfect movie? What's the perfect movie?
Are you guys asking me what the perfect movie is?
We're having a conversation. I'm talking to you, and I asked you a question, and then I'm wanting an answer.
So you're asking me.
You're
correct,
asking
me
asking
what the perfect movie is?
Yes, you, Love Boat.
All right, here it goes. You ready?
Yeah.
He's not a movie guy, though.
No. I'm going deep, George. I'm going deep into my archives here.
Yeah.
Okay? What was it? Young Frankenstein
got
a round of applause,
very
right?
Very funny.
Guys, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Mm.
Originally supposed to be a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
And it was so funny when they realized what they had. I talked to Stu Nahan, who's in that movie once. Stu's no longer with
us. Yeah, Stu is a great guy.
Where'd you get this jacket?
Yeah, I got that from the network.
Jeff.
Nahan said he got paid almost nothing to do it because it was a made-for-TV right. movie. And then when it became a big hit movie and started getting picked up by networks, he started getting residuals and made a little back-end cash.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that movie, you're... Cappy, that's
a great call.
Pretty close. The, when you were saying perfect movie, the movie that popped into my head was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
So good. The ending is the best.
Yeah.
One of the great endings of all time. Do you guys know that movie? It's a little early before your time. Yeah, before your time. It's a classic, though. It was.
I think there's
honestly,
a lot of
Sedano, really it was before movies. My time, too. It was 1968.
Yeah.
So
yeah. There's a lot of good movies that I think are, like, you know, in that category of, like, man, you watch them and they're pretty damn spot on. I think Tarantino's got one of them, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Ireland hates Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I'm in the minority.
He doesn't
there.
Understand it. It's too complex for him.
But to be honest, it's not even my favorite Tarantino movie. My favorite Tarantino movie is Kill Bill Volume 1.
Fantastic.
Yeah, with Uma Thurman.
Jackie
Brown.
Jackie
Brown's
Brown
very good,
yeah.
too.
Is yeah. super underrated in the canon of Quentin Tarantino movies.
But if we're doing, like, The Matrix, the original one, I would say was pretty
agreed.
Damned,
fantastic. You know, Wachowski people.
Home Alone? If you're looking for, like, Christmas goofy kid stuff comedy, like, the perfect mixture of, like, it's perfect for everyone. That's in that category.
Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a good one, too.
Which one?
Wait a minute. Jingle Christmas movie. All the
I
Way.
I love that movie.
That's my favorite Christmas movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a perfect
that
movie,
is
in your opinion.
Yes, it's a good
that
Christmas
ridiculous.
Movie.
Ridiculous.
File that away with Bergman's claim that the scariest movie ever is Ernest Scared
with
Stupid.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger,
what's
yes.
the like the best rom-com to me ever is When Harry Met Sally.
Very good.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's, and again, this is before my time, What's Up, Doc? If you've ever seen What's Up, Doc?
No. Ryan O'Neill.
Ryan O'Neill and Barbara Streisand, really, really funny. And Madeline Kahn, who is unbelievably funny. But yeah, I went to, people laugh at this, I majored in pop culture.
Shock.
You majored in pop culture?
Bowling Green State University had a college of pop culture.
You're kidding.
And you could get a BLS, a Bachelor of Liberal Studies. I think you could eliminate the L and just make it BS. a Bachelor of Liberal Studies. That was my degree, was in pop culture. So,
come on, for real?
You know, 100% real.
You know, there are schools now, at least five, that offer scholarships and degrees in gaming.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Video gaming.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
You can major in video games.
Cappy, well, what did you major in?
What do you think?
You did what I did. You majored in history because you could get through it quicker.
I will say liberal arts.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think I know. I majored in English because I thought I was going to go to law school.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I object.
Yeah.
Love boat in the courtroom.
I could see Cap being a lawyer.
Trial lawyer.
Yeah, oh, of course trial lawyer. I mean, it's all about performance, right?
It is.
I mean, so instead of going into the law and being in a courtroom, I decided to, you know, take these, you know, minimal talents to radio.
That is your game.
Mm-hmm.
Shadana, what about you?
Just communications, yeah.
Just communications.
Nothing exciting, huh? Just,
yeah.
just
communications. No. Do you learn a lot in college?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, here's the thing about college. Yeah. It's like you really. Almost have to do it. Like, it's the bar is there where if you get your degree, you're a certain level of income. And if you don't, you're a certain level. The truth is, college is not for everybody.
Facts. I would agree.
Facts. Yeah.
And I think less so now more than ever before.
Yeah.
Although I will tell you guys, like my son, for example, he's not cut out for school. He'd never been cut out for school. The only reason this kid is even in school is because he plays ball. It's kind of like playing travel ball for a 22-year-old, you know?
Right.
But I keep saying to him, just get the degree and check the box.
Yes.
So that when you get out of school and somebody says to you, where did you go to college? What did you major in? What year did you graduate? You have those answers, and not everybody needs those answers. But in this kid, I'm like, dude, I don't care what you major in. I don't care where you go to school. Just freaking graduate from college,
yep.
and then you'll figure out what you want to do with your life.
Yeah, exactly. And party a lot. You know, that's what I always tell, you know, you should enjoy that, man, because that I got so drunk in college so often. And
I always tell people the best tip I ever got going through college was one of my mentors, older guy in the fraternity, said, I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever forget it. And I said, what? He said, don't let school interfere with your education.
Nice.
You will have opportunities to do things while you're in college that are way more important and frankly more fun than going to class. Don't be the guy who never misses a class.
Hey, and guys, right. Can I ask you a quick question?
Oh, sure.
And this is kind of, this is where, if Mace were doing this, this would, you know, be the base.
Do you want to play
up here?
You want to do this?
Yeah. Thank you. Are you guys watching us on YouTube right now?
No.
No, I gotta put us on.
So wait, none of the three of you guys have our YouTube channel up right now while we're on?
Correct.
Correct. Yes.
You know, I mean, the live chat, because I have to have it because
the live chat is very fun.
I know, there is a live chat that goes along with it that is actually very funny.
And it's fun. And so it's faster than Twitter because on Twitter, you know, like people are replying and responding to the things they're hearing on the radio.
In real time, right.
Yeah, and on the live chat, this is happening. This is instant feedback, Steve Mason.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, it's I'm reading the lines there right now. ESPN LA censoring Sedano. Hate. Ha ha. I think they're just trying to stir things up. By the way, I got a couple of those, Sedano, and on Twitter. I sent a tweet about LAFC, and I sent a tweet about the Rams, and everybody's like, well, you have to do that. You're required to do that. That's part of your job. No, I tweet what the hell I want. I don't.
Yeah, nobody tells us.
Nobody says, go tweet this. I just tweet what I want to tweet.
Yeah.
We don't get any interference from bosses. Except Boss Amanda. We get a lot of guidance and a lot of coaching and all that stuff from Boss Amanda.
But wait, you're saying that somebody said that the reason you tweeted about the Rams and LAFC is because you are required to do so?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
But think about it. Think about LAFC's in the championship, so like you want to give those guys as much love as you can.
Yeah, I shouted them out on my Instagram. They sent out me a cool little gift, a scarf.
That's what I got.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you hear? So a lot of people do the video where you're opening the box and see what's inside. So I did that.
No, I didn't do that.
I did that with LAFC, and I put it on social last night. And I immediately started getting text or messages on Twitter. You know, your address is right there on the box.
Oh,
and sure
my God.
Enough, there was my address.
Well, you got to be a little careful. I told this story early in the show, guys. When we're on YouTube, like we are now, I used to have my phone number written on the ID tag on my backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And one day during the show, my phone started ringing. And I'm like, wow, it's ringing a lot. And I never answer it during the show. Show's over. It's like, hey, your number's on your backpack. I just wanted to see if this was really your number.
Yeah.
So that's gotta be aware of when you're on and when you're not.
Interesting. Danilin Turhill tweets, surprise on Instagram, or on, I guess, on YouTube, surprise Mason in Ireland didn't mention the Godfather movies is perfect.
Pretty close.
Yeah, that's real close.
I'm just looking at my, I got the same box you guys all got, and I also put, I opened it up on Instagram as well. Boy, we're just like, I mean, we are really creative.
I'll tell you what, the thing about the YouTube channel, I look really good. Don't you think I look really good?
I guess, if you think so.
Yeah,
I think I look really good too, because my microphone is completely blocking out my face, so less of my face is making me look really, really good.
I of the four of us, Sedano, you appear to be, are you in your house?
I'm in my house/home office.
Okay. And so you've got a backdrop. Do you have a backdrop in your house that says ESPN LA?
I had this from when the pandemic was happening. So we were doing shows for a little while. We were doing a lot of stuff from home. So I was doing like videos and stuff. So one of the last days we were in there, I grabbed it for some reason. It was for like some remote thing or something that we were going to do. And I had one in my car, and I text Tommy at the time. I was like, yo, can I just keep this at my house? And he's like, yeah, just whatever. Do whatever you want with it. So it's been here the whole time since.
Yeah, you've got the best positioning. I think they're screwing us over with the angles, to be honest.
What do you think of me, Mace?
You look fine. You're talking directly to the camera. We're off to the side, and we look stupid.
Yeah. Well, you know what you guys look like?
Well, look at the camera.
Well, no. You guys look like the cameras are on you and you're doing a radio show and you're not playing to the cameras.
Correct.
Right.
This is the first time. George is definitely, he knows he's on YouTube.
Well, he's doing a good job of looking right into the camera. He's a seasoned TV professional.
He's a pro.
Right.
That's the thing about Sedano. He's
and
a pro.
And me, I'm in my home podcasting studio.
Yeah, but I got to point out, you actually have your name and lights.
Yeah, he does. He does. He does have his name and lights.
It says Scott Kaplan Show. Oh, Scott Kaplan Crew.
Kaplan and Crew, yes.
Right.
And it has Scott on top, just in case you were thinking like it was Emily Kaplan and Crew.
No, it's me. It's me. Yeah, that's my that's as Georgie likes to call it, the Cappy Cast.
The Cappy Cast.
The Cappy Cast.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is where I do the Cappy Cast.
And that's where you hawk t-shirts, right?
And, yes. And this sign that's
he's
behind
slinging
me.
Slinging t-shirts for everybody
right.
there.
The sign that's behind me, I didn't really want to move. Now there's another sign that's usually over my other shoulder
yep.
that is
yep.
a sponsor of the podcast. It's not a sponsor of the radio show.
Okay, so
out
you
of consideration
take that down,
for
sure.
The radio station, I took it down.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Are you guys surprised? By the way, Jacob Amrani was just here. We were talking about LAFC mm-hmm. and the get-in price for the game on Saturday is $400.
On the secondary market?
Secondary market, $400.
See, because I looked it up the other day, and now granted, I don't know if tickets gone on sale yet?
Oh, yeah. Officially? Tickets have gone on sale, yeah.
Okay, because I saw it originally before tickets went on sale. Like, the get-in was $970 at Jeez. That point.
On StubHub, you can get in for $400, but I mean, that's probably not that there's a bad seat in the house. It's
no.
a great place to see a game. And,
it really is.
And to be part
of it. I have sat all over the place in there just to like see the aesthetics from everywhere. Because, you know, when people tell you there's not a bad seat in the house, you're like, yeah, okay, sure. And then I literally did the tour one day when I was there. And I was like watching the match. I started kind of walking around the stadium. It really isn't. Like, even the top level, you feel very
oh, yeah.
close.
Hey, I wasn't going to do this, but Bergman and I are going to the USC UCLA
yeah,
game. Anybody with us? You going, Cappy?
Yeah, I'm going.
I can't. Doing Oregon Utah that day.
So, Cappy, do you want to sit with us and all that?
I will sit with you guys for some portion of the game.
Where else are you going to be?
Say yes, Cappy.
Say yes.
He's got bigger names on the other line.
Who are you watching? You're going to go there and you're going to sit and watch a game with somebody other than us?
I'm going to the game. To do some networking, if you will.
He's got people to see, things to do.
Mean? I'm going up to
money to make.
You're going
make.
To the press box and to suites and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm going to the suites. I'm a suite hopper.
Fancy people.
I'm a suite hopper.
Not a
don't
man
blame me, Cap. That's, more power to you.
That is him. He doesn't want to hobnob with the regular folks.
Not
no,
a man
I do. I just don't want to do it for the whole game. Now, I've made a commitment.
So here's what you're going to call Boney and you want to get in his suite at the Rose Bowl.
Don't need to call Boney and ask to get into his suite. I was an invited guest into
Boney's.
Oh, there
you go.
Get out of here. Mike Bone invited you to watch the game in his box.
So Cappy's and Boney are tight. They go way back.
So wow.
It's Rachel, my 16-year-old daughter, and another couple of friends of mine and their kids. So the six of us are all crashing Boney's suite.
Wow. Well, good for you. Well, we're going to be with the regular people.
By the
That's
way,
I'll come down for a little while.
Wow.
Did you also, is it true you also asked for like 27,000 tickets for the, even though there's only a 20,000 seat stadium at the LAFC to try to go to that game?
I did. I am trying to get into that game. I'm seriously trying to get into the game.
Mace, you want my ticket? Because I don't think I'm going to be able to go to the LAFC game and then to the USC game.
You have to.
That's a great double. I'm going to the SC game Saturday night. I want to do both.
Wait a minute. Yeah. What time are the games?
1 and 7:30.
Yeah, 7:30. There's a lot of time in between.
Okay.
So you can definitely do both. But yeah,
I
will take your ticket
in between. It's actually perfect.
Yeah, it is.
Because
okay, Cappy.
I feel a little like strange showing up to the LAFC championship game when, if I'm being honest, I haven't been to any games at all, ever, yet.
I've only been to... You've never been to a game there?
Not been to one yet.
And you, so, the like, first one would be the MLS championship.
I mean, what? So that's a pretty good one to go to,
yeah.
I
is
would
it
say.
A good... Is it... Or is it like, oh, come on, man. You're not, like, on the bandwagon. You haven't been, you know, following the team.
Well, but have you actually had an opportunity to go to a game and you were like, oh, no, I'm not going to go? This has given us opportunities to go. I just, for whatever reason, schedule-wise, it's never worked for me.
Yeah, for me, it's just...
So you've got a ticket and you don't know if you're going to use it?
Well, that's what I was told this morning.
Okay, I'm in.
Like a single ticket.
A single ticket. I'm in.
If I tell you who I'm supposed to be going with, though, that might change your mind.
You mean I'll be sitting next to this person?
You will be with them for the day.
Who is it?
You guys really want me to tell you?
Yeah,
probably Morales, I think.
Ooh.
Save it for the next show. I'm just kidding.
No, who is it?
Good tease. Sedano just mentioned it.
Morales?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to sit next to Morales for a whole game.
Oh,
I mean, you could always just tell him you lost
he'll
a friend never as texting
he'll
him.
Never
yeah,
shut
that's
up.
True. You could just say you've lost a friend. You don't even have
Morales
to text
Morales talks
him.
So... Yeah, I'll take the ticket. I'll go with Morales.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Let me see if Morales still has the ticket. Let me check.
Wow. All right, that's it for us.
All right.
We are back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Mesa and Ireland, don't forget, Supercross Talk brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Lots of stupidity coming up next for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Yeah, 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 come on. Boom, bam, bam, bam. Ding, ba, da, doop. Bing, ba, da, da, bing, ba, do, 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 do,
ba, da, da, boom, bing, bing, bum.
Boom, bing, bum, bum.
Bing, ba, da, boop.
You know, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see us actually playing the air bass. I jam.
Well, you playing the air bass.
Beam, ba da bump.
I'm eating popcorn.
Beam, ba da boop, ba dig, 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 da da ding, ba dig, dig.
Did you see USC is number 9, Cappy? In the college football playoff ranking or whatever that just came out today?
I am looking at this, yeah. But I'm kind of surprised that Utah checked me as 2 spots ahead. You got that?
2 spots ahead?
I'm looking at the College Football Power Index. Am I looking at something different than you're looking at?
No, you're looking at something different.
Yeah. All right. Then no, I haven't. To answer your question, no.
It's on your TV right now, actually.
If you want let's see here. Tennessee. Joey Galloway. That's what I'm looking at right now on TV. Are you watching
ESPN?
Yeah,
on the right side. They have the rankings.
Oh, all right. Illinois is 16.
Just going to be scrolling.
Yeah. North Carolina is 17. Syracuse is 20. Tulane. Hey. That's where my daughter goes to school. 19.
Are they really?
Yeah. Like, she goes to school there, and she even works for the football team, and I'm, like, barely engaged. I was at some friend's house last night for Halloween. Their kids both go to TCU, and you would think that this guy is the head coach of the TCU football team. That's how into TCU football my friends are.
Good for them. They're 8-0 or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way he kind of justifies it, he's like, look, dude, I'm spending $100,000 a year there. I might as well get into the football team. I'm like, yeah,
absolutely.
I got that.
Yeah, they're number 7. They're 8. No. Oregon is 8. USC is 9. LSU is 10. Alabama is number 6 at the moment.
Did I see Tennessee's 1?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
I mean, they have the best win in college football this year. They beat Alabama.
Yeah, that's true. Tennessee 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3. Now, Tennessee and Georgia play this weekend, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What a game.
Yeah, if Georgia loses that game, they might be out, which is kind of crazy.
All right,
because they will have lost the SEC East. That means that they will not play in the SEC Championship game unless Tennessee loses somewhere.
So there's
but
USC at 9.
USC's USC, UCLA, Utah, and Oregon. Oregon is 8, USC is 9, UCLA is 12, and Utah is 14. Those are the 4 teams in the Pac-12. And all that will get resolved that day that you were just discussing at when USC plays UCLA, barring an upset beforehand, obviously. But if both of all 4 teams come in exactly the same at this stage, that Utah-Oregon game and UCLA-USC game will determine the top 2, more than likely, in the Pac-12.
Let me tell you, man, for as great as it is for the Pac-12 to have 4 teams even in this college football playoff rankings top 25.
Pretty awesome. It's never happened, I don't think.
I can't remember the last time. Where 4 Pac-12 teams have gotten this sort of national notoriety. Oregon, you expected it going into the season. Utah as well. USC, I mean, I'm not surprised, and this was certainly my expectation, that they would be competing right away. But the story of all 4, the Cinderella story of all 4 of them, is that UCLA very, very quietly, George, has worked their way into the national conversation. Not just because they're attached at the hip with USC and leaving for the Big Ten, but because they're actually now legit, at least this season.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They're good.
Good for UCLA.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you don't go firing coaches right away. Give a guy a little bit of time to breathe.
I agree. People were going nuts last year when I said, you know, keep Chip Kelly. And they're like, what are you talking about? And it's like, dude, you're UCLA. Relax.
Well, you keep going through coaches. Let him build something. Yeah, right. You just keep going through them, you know, and it's Rick Neuheisel, and it's Carl Durrell, and it's Jim Mora Jr., and I'm sure there's a million other names that I've not, you know, brought up here recently.
By the way, I mean, look at the Raiders. Mark Davis said he gave Josh McDaniel the vote of confidence or whatever.
You should give him the vote of confidence. There's another guy. Just let the coach. Even if we all don't think he's very good right now, just let him coach and get out of his way and consider changing your quarterback after all these years.
Well, that's not his decision to make either. You know what I mean? Like, that's the coach's decision and the GM's decision.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if I'm an owner, I'm not trying to act like I know more than the football guys. Would you? Well, yeah, you would. Yeah.
But in my particular case, George.
Oh my God, you would be one of the most challenging owners to work for, I feel like, in a lot of ways.
But that's only because I'm probably the smartest football guy in the room.
Right.
Like, if me and Bill Belichick are in the room and I tell Bill what I think he should do, he'd probably be pretty smart to listen to what I say.
Lindsay, how challenging do you think Cappy would be if he was like the owner of an NFL team?
I think
would he be like Jerry Jones? Like, who would he be?
I don't think you'd be like Jerry Jones whatsoever.
You don't think he'd be trying to run the draft?
No. No, I feel like Rachel would be running the draft.
All of a sudden, that would be making
very good
visual.
Lindsay baseball.
It'd be
very
like
good.
D. Haslam kind of runs the Browns, I guess, these days.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all these owners, man, they all think they know more than everybody.
Yeah, you know? Only because they're billionaires, but not because they actually know anything about football, though.
Well, I mean, some guys think they do. Maybe they do. I mean, Jerry Jones played football in college.
I mean, in he's Arkansas, team for like 1960, for God's sake.
So what? So who cares, man? The guy
you don't think football
player.
Has changed in 50, 60 years?
I don't know. They still use that brown pigskin kind of thing, right? They've certainly... Right. You know, gotten better at equipment. I mean, the face masks have changed. You know, the leather has turned into plastic, et cetera.
Laura, if Cappy was an owner of a professional sports franchise, would he would absolutely be trying to get up in the videos like they used to say back in the day. All up in the videos.
Oh, yeah. He'll be all up in the smoke.
Yeah. You don't want a producer to get up all in the videos that come to death row. They would be talking about you, Cappy. You'd be the producer getting all up in the videos.
Well, listen, again, I just want to say this. If I owned a football team, I would definitely share my opinions with the football people that I hire to do the job. But if a tough decision, an executive decision, has to be made, George, I'm willing to make that call. I'm willing to make that call. It's a
and
tough call, but you got to make
doing
that call.
In that scenario.
Yeah, listen, here's me. Hey, Josh, because now I'm Mark Davis right now.
Right.
Or check that. I'm me and I own the Raiders.
Okay, you own the Raiders. You're
right.
Cappy.
Right. Hey, Josh.
Mr. Cappy.
Right. Hey, Josh, listen, here's the thing. I bought the team and you were already the coach. So I'm just going to leave you for a while, okay? But here's the thing. This quarterback right here, he ain't very good. Mm-hmm. He's had 5 different head coaches, 7 or 8 different offensive coordinators. We've had this guy as our starter for 10-plus years. We've been to 1 playoff game. I'm telling you right now, we're done with this guy. So figure out who our next quarterback is. That's what I'd be doing if I owned the Raiders. What kind of owner do you think you would be?
Oh, I would be the one that I'd want to be in the room to hear all of it. But at the end of the day, I'm hiring people to make the right decisions. Like that, I'm entrusting them to make the decisions. If they're people I've vetted and all the people I've vetted through believe this is the person to make those decisions, whoever's got that final say is getting that final say. That's it. They're only coming to me about like checkbook stuff.
Okay, got it. Speaking of checkbooks, quick question here. Are we all going to jump back into the lottery? What's it going to be on Wednesday? Because yesterday we were talking about $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
$1.2 billion. Wednesday's drawing is $1.2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And today is Tuesday.
Correct. So that means you should buy your tickets today because you know you're going to forget tomorrow.
Okay, so I got to go somewhere to buy lottery tickets for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go to like a little mom and pop liquor store. That's where I'm going to go.
All right. As opposed to like a gas station?
Or like a name brand, like a 7-Eleven or a Valero or an AMPM. I'm going to a mom and pop owned liquor store and buying my tickets.
Hmm. Why?
Why is that?
I mean, I feel like that gives me a better chance, does it not?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
I had to actually, I had this combo earlier today. Well, Mason in Ireland originally thought that the more people that buy the tickets, the less chance you have of winning, which is not the case because
no,
the six numbers are drawn regardless of how many people. So I just feel like I'm just curious as to why you think you have a better chance based on where you go buy your tickets.
I feel like if I'm in a like very rich neighborhood, and I walk
into a convenience
store.
Someone in Beverly Hills wouldn't. If you bought a ticket in Beverly Hills, you'd never win the lottery.
That's what I think. I don't know if I'm
you
right.
You think that the random lottery number picker machine cares about where you live?
No, not where I live, but perhaps where I bought the ticket. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Let's discuss this a little further on the other side, because I do want to. I'd love to kind of hear your logic to this because it sounds ridiculous. But maybe it's not. I don't know. Who knows? We'll find out. But also, today was the trade deadline in the NFL, and there was a lot of activity, and then there was also a lot of inactivity by certain teams. We'll get to that next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Did Chris just do the cat thing that we were talking about yesterday again?
No, yes. I think he did Lindsay doing the cat thing.
Oh. I think it's her drop, but yes.
Good song.
Lindsay, can you reproduce the sound when cats have sex?
It's not when cats have sex. It was.
We should just say when cats make love.
When my cat
was in heat.
Just
for the parents in the car, they don't want to turn
really?
It down.
It was when, it was my cat's like mating call because it was when my cat was in heat.
Wait, why did? Are you talking to me about really why?
The word sex no. is so bad.
Well, I'm just, I don't have
he's
an issue with
it.
I think we're
cat.
Very puritanical, but there are people in the car with little kids who probably don't want that particular word. So we could just say making love or getting it on or whatever. Is that
mating.
Too much to ask of you?
Mommy, what does getting it on mean? Sedano just said on the radio, making love. Mommy, what does that mean?
Animals don't make love.
It
they
sticks
mate.
Out way less than the word sex. I mean, but I don't care. Do
when
you, bro?
Cats color. When cats color, people, they're coloring.
I'm just trying to look out for the parents out there. I know you don't care because your kids are all grown, but I know there are people that listen to the show who have little kids.
Mm.
You still don't get uncomfortable like talking about that in front of your kids, even though they're grown? Because I feel uncomfortable.
Oh, I feel like Cappy has no issues being uncomfortable at all, doing anything in front of his kids at this stage.
The problem is that like my son, for example, like I'll ask him about girls and like, you know, getting down is I think the phrase you prefer, George. I ask him about it and he's like, no, dude, don't even ask. I'm not telling you
anything.
Good
for him. He doesn't need to tell you
that.
Yeah,
good for him. You're already tracking his ass.
I know. You're probably like, well, according to my app, your heart rate was up 2,000% earlier. What were you doing?
You ready for this?
You were at like Alyssa's house or something or random check, whatever.
And your battery life was only at 4%. Charge your phone, dog. No, truth is, he turned off his locations.
Good for him.
Good for him. See?
See, no, you're only tracking the girls.
He must have been listening.
No, actually, my daughter, Jillian, she turned off the locations, too.
Good for them.
No, she's turning them back on. She definitely turning them back on. When she says I'm not, I'm going to be like, okay, then pay your own rent. How about that?
Oh, look at that.
How's that? Is that leverage?
I mean, it kind of is.
That is a leverage situation,
George. Are you
telling
Justin the same thing?
Yeah, I am. Turn them on, Jack.
Good.
Or pay your own rent.
So, Cappy, to answer your question about lottery tickets, according to a study done here, I'm seeing this on ABC News, if you ever thought that where you bought a lottery ticket would make a difference whether you'd win or lose, it's time to rethink your lottery strategy. No matter where you play the lottery, the odds of winning are the same. It's all random. It's all luck. Actually, someone in the community, DeadMeow5, actually brought up the best point. Mm-hmm. I think the reason affluent areas rarely have lotto winners like Beverly Hills is because there's almost no convenience stores, and rich people ain't really buying lotto tickets. They got money, which is also fair.
That's true. Rich people don't gamble.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure.
They gamble, but they're not buying lottery tickets.
I don't know why it is, but in my mind, I feel like if I go to a mom and pop owned liquor store versus three doors down to a convenience store that's branded 7-Eleven or whatever, I feel like I have a better chance at the mom and pop store. And more, I do believe that when the lottery ticket is won, the person who sells it is actually also entitled to a share. By the way, I shake
right,
their hand.
If they get any prize that's claimed let's say you buy a ticket at a mom and pop store, they get some winnings as well.
But yes. What I do, George, is I give a handshake. I give a bro handshake, and I'm like, my man, or if it's a woman, my girl, listen, I will be back after I win, and I'm taking care of you because you sold me this ticket. So I touch that person.
Yeah.
Okay.
You love to touch.
I do. I'm a touchy-feely kind of person. Yeah. Even though I use antibacterial after I touch people.
So anyway, that's where you're going to buy the mom and pop. But now you've flipped the narrative a little bit.
How so?
Well, now you're only buying it because, you know, they'll win something potentially. But
well, that's
nice
thing.
You thought it increased your chances early.
I did. And so everybody has their own strategy when it comes to buying lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Laura, do you have a strategy that you employ when buying lottery tickets?
I usually don't buy lotto tickets because I suck. But this one's over a billion. So what we're doing is I'm buying some in L.A., the boo's buying some in the O.C., and my mom has like the San Gabriel IE area.
Yeah. Okay. So you hear that? Laura and her family.
They're spreading it across the city.
Southern California.
It doesn't really work, but you know,
right,
it
but
makes us
got,
think.
Right, but they've got IE, they've got LA, they've got OC.
And AV, my friend, is in it too.
Okay, all right. And George, are you going to be buying tickets for tomorrow's lottery?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be in Oregon tomorrow, so probably somewhere in Portland.
Ah, so see, you think there's a better chance in Oregon than you do in Southern California.
Or no, it's because I literally have to leave right after the show to go straight to the airport.
This is tonight?
And I probably don't have, I'm flying tonight.
Okay.
So I probably don't have a lot of time to stop if I want to make the flight.
You think you had a better chance of buying from a small place in Oregon than you do in L.A.?
I don't know, Cap. I was in Oregon over the summer, and it was a pretty big prize back then, and I didn't win then either.
So you've bought lottery tickets in Oregon before?
Over the summer when I was there. It was the last time it was a really big prize like this, and I didn't win there either. So
right,
it didn't really matter.
You're not going to win. Lindsay, you getting in on this or not?
Yeah, I'll buy tickets.
Okay, where are you buying them at?
Probably just a gas station near my house.
Okay.
You know that the odds of winning are 1 in 292 million, no matter how many tickets are bought, no matter where you buy your ticket, no matter how many tickets you buy, it doesn't change your odds.
Okay. 192 million is my chance?
292 million.
So I'm 1 in 292.
Uh-huh.
Million.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'm going to win it.
It's better than the Mega Millions. Those are about 1 in 302 million.
George, you know how I'm going to win?
How are you going to win, Kathy?
I'm manifesting it.
So you're like, you're the power of belief is what you're saying?
Right. I'm currently in a mode where I'm putting it out into the universe that I believe that I'm truly going to win the $1 billion plus dollar lottery.
You know, Cappy, there's something to that because my friends that go to Vegas with me all the time always think it's crazy how I win so much. And I say, you got to go to the slot machine and like manifest it and close your eyes and like picture yourself with the bonuses and picture yourself winning. And they all think I'm crazy, but none of them ever walk away with the money that I do.
Right. So you got to believe. You got
to
see it.
I really believe that. I really honestly do.
Now, there's a guy in our YouTube live chat right now that says, Cap, your daughter in Idaho should go get tickets. Jesse, that is a great idea. Yeah. I'm going to call my daughter in Idaho, and I'm going to call my daughter in New Orleans
Yeah.
And I'm going to call my son in little teeny tiny town West Virginia, and I'm going to tell them all to go buy $20 worth of lottery tickets, right, because I think I'm more likely to win the lottery from a truck stop in Wheeling, West Virginia, than I do from a 7-Eleven in downtown L.A.
I truly
believe that. I'm going to win,
George.
I'm
not going to win. I hope you do. I told you if I would have won in Arizona, I would have shown up to work. You would have never known because it was anonymous.
Was Idaho on that anonymous list? Was Louisiana?
Hold on. Let me look.
Was Louisiana on that list? Was
you know what? Well, while I looked that up, you know who was anonymous today in the at the trade deadline? The Rams.
Yeah, they were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Didn't make a move. Everybody's looking at the Rams thinking, you guys are the ones that have made the trade deadline vogue and relevant. Fact
right.
of the matter
F
is,
them picks.
Right.
Yeah.
Fact is our whole lives, seriously, without exaggeration, the trade deadline in the NFL meant nothing. Mm-hmm. In baseball, everybody sits on pins and needles. Well, who's going to get traded to where?
Even the NBA, every once in a while, there's a good one.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, there is nobody going, ooh, big trades are coming. And then the Rams showed up.
Right.
And then the Rams made all these moves, made all these trades, and won a Super Bowl. So the trade deadline has become a vogue sort of a thing now.
Right. It's en vogue.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
you
thought that as teams were making moves, like to me, the Miami Dolphins going and getting this linebacker, Chubb, from Denver.
Yeah, the pass rusher. Yeah.
Right. Miami thinks they're a pass rusher away from making a run, or maybe they're 2 or 3 years away, but they'll be able to sign this guy, they think.
Because he's 26 years old. Right.
Right. And he'll be, you know, the kind of the cornerstone guy of their defense, or one of them. They think they got a quarterback now. They know that they've got one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Miami made a move today to get themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
Denver made a move to prepare for the future.
Right.
The Rams didn't do anything.
They did nothing.
I actually thought the Rams might go out on a limb today and go find an offensive lineman that could be like their guy going forward, like the star of their O-line. Didn't do that. Missed out on that Christian McCaffrey thing. Week and change ago. I didn't think that was a good idea, but after what I saw this past week,
it was
SoFi
a good
Stadium,
idea.
It was a damn good idea.
I don't know why you didn't think that was a good idea. I kept telling you, this dude, he's a safety valve. They have nobody that can block, and he's super elusive and can catch the ball pretty much anywhere, you know, whether it's out of the backfield, you know, just a little slip screen pass to him. You know, he can catch it over the middle. He can catch a ball down the field. Like, he's good, man. Like, he's really talented. And now you see it again when he's on a team that, I don't know, is also really talented.
Right. Well, I think that you said it. They don't have an offensive line. So I thought to myself, without an offensive line, why do you need a premier running back?
Well, you thought of just the running back part of it is the problem.
Well, I'll tell you what. He looked so good this past Sunday against the Rams with, you know, San Francisco, no Deebo Samuel, who now can go back to playing the position he really wants to play, which is wide receiver, and he don't want to take that wear and tear on his body as a running back.
Right.
And so without him, we saw what the Niners did to the Rams. That's why I thought the Rams would do something today.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the Rams are behind closed doors looking at each other going, hey, guys, we won the Super Bowl last year. Percentages say we're not likely going to win it again this year. So there's really not a move we can make that changes that necessarily.
Yeah, right.
So let's not do anything.
Okay.
I wonder if that's what they're thinking.
I mean, I don't know. I just think that there probably wasn't a guy that they could get that would make enough of an impact. Like, I'm sure they would have loved to have had Bradley Chubb, much like they got Von Miller last year, but they didn't have a first round pick to give up.
Yeah, there was one story though about them trying to give up picks in years into the future. This sounds like we're talking about the Lakers, by the way. You know, doesn't it? Like, team that was good at one time, won a championship.
Well, no, they have very similar trajectories. They both went all in for championships, and now they find themselves in a really tough situation.
Yeah, but there was a story I read earlier today about how the Rams were trying to get this defensive end from Carolina, who, honestly, like, if I told you his name, you'd be like, I've never heard of that guy before.
Right. Can you tell me the story on the other side?
Of course I can.
Okay, then let's do that.
Her name is Rio, and she dances on the sand. Just like that river moving through the dusty land. Did I get any of those words right, Linz?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you did, but I'm not so familiar with Duran Duran.
Duran Duran's a great expert band.
Love this song. This is a great video, too.
It is a great video. They were on like a boat, right?
Yes, so. George, they were. They were on a sailboat and they were cruising and their hair was flying and they had cool sunglasses on and they looked dope AF, 80s style.
You know they're at a Yamava, I think like this week.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen totally Duran Duran not long. I've seen them a couple of years ago. They were still really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I've seen you on TV. How was that?
The they have like a lot of good hits. And, you know, they had kind of that resurgence in the 90s, too, again. Like, they were pretty good still then, too. They put out, I don't remember what the name of the album was, but it was an album that had a number of hits. And they had taken off a long time, if I recall correctly.
I saw them a couple summers ago at a festival, and the place was jam-packed, and everybody was singing every word to every song. It was awesome.
Yeah, I could see you being more like a reflex guy. The reflex, flex,
child, yes, waiting by the phone. Yeah. Reflex. It's a good song.
Or Hungry Like the Wolf.
I like Hungry by the Wolf.
Because you are always hungry. Yours would be more like Thirsty Like the Wolf, though.
Trying to really watch my diet, though. I'm starting to make some more conscious choices. I will admit that.
Yeah?
I will.
Why don't you just start with like less calories?
No, that's kind of part of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The healthy choices.
It's usually
choices.
Easier that way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got it. I do. Hey, Chris also mentioned something else. He mentioned the word puritanical.
Yeah.
In that rejoin on a... So usually we do live imaging Tuesdays around here, but Chris is apparently too busy. So this is taped imaging Tuesday. And yeah.
It's still live imaging because he's doing it live in the sense of like real time.
Oh, because, you know, live is lit and taped imaging Tuesday is not. So
well,
I just want to make that distinction.
This is what I would call real-time imaging is what I would call it.
Okay, also, gotcha. Also, I think part of it, too, is that Morales is not here to do live imaging Tuesday because you guys are also not here, so...
No, that's actually not accurate. He told us days in advance he couldn't be here for live imaging Tuesday.
No, he just said this, like, yesterday.
Also,
days in advance.
The guy works a lot. So if he wants to take a Tuesday here off or whatever, I'm good with it. Like, it's fine.
All right. But anyway, he did mention the word puritanical, and he's right. I didn't really want to stop at the moment and kind of, you know, get a definition. Yeah. But what was that all about?
It's just like someone who likes to like moralize based off like, this religious belief. You know, like a lot of religions particularly are not all of them, but a good chunk of them are very like skittish about certain things, right? Like making love or getting it on or however you want to describe it is certainly one of them.
Yeah, right. But I said the word sex and you said we're a puritanical show.
No, I didn't say we're a puritanical show. I said I understand that, I'm okay with it, you know, because I don't live by these puritanical beliefs that most people live by, that, you know, sex is bad or whatever. But like
terrible.
Yeah, but I also understand that when you have little kids in the car, like I get it. I have little kids. That's it. That was all it was.
Oh,
you
all right.
Get
well,
all bent out of shape. You can say whatever you want.
No, it was puritanical. I didn't know what that meant, you know?
Oh.
That's the point.
Right. It's like stuffy, right? Like moralistic or whatever, you know?
Okay, got it. Well,
that's what puritanical means.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
We do live in a puritanical society, though. Would you not agree with that? For the most part?
I would say that there are some very uptight people out there, and they're the people that when Janet Jackson had a uniform malfunction, they lost their freaking minds.
Right. And again, if we really want to dive into this, like we talked about this during Crosstalk. I don't know if you were there that day, but you know, John and I and Mason were talking about, I think you were there. It might have been one of the days you were out, but we were talking about just like how the human body gets portrayed here in this country as opposed to other countries. Like when you're in Europe, man, like forget about obviously there's the beaches, right? And Ireland told a funny story about him and Lisa being in Italy. And he looked at her and was like, hey, what do you think? When in Rome?
Yep.
And she was like, no.
I do recall this conversation.
Oh, there you go. So you were there. So then I thought it was one of the days you were out to see Justin's game. But the, it just, you know, here people have a different belief of that stuff. I don't care about any of that stuff. You can go to the beach and be nude for all I care. And also on television, it doesn't bother me. But to your point, you know, Janet Jackson, you know, the booby gate was a thing. It was a big deal.
Do you think that people would get upset if I put the picture out of me naked with the three Mandys in front of me that you told me not to put out there because you could see that I was not properly manscaped?
I wouldn't care, but I would just say that, yeah, you might cause some trouble for yourself and I might end up doing the show with somebody else in a couple of days.
Jeez, really?
I don't think so. I think you'd be fine, Cappy, because I feel like There's a lot of like influencers or like famous people, whatever they do, that are like, Instagram is like pretty racy. They don't let people show like any actual nudity, but
no, but what I'm saying is, if you look at the reflection off one of the Mandy's, you can see his Mandy.
Oh, I think as long as you edit that part, Cap, like you need to like blur it out. Which
I didn't know.
Do.
I don't know how to do it, man. I don't know how to do that.
But I would tell you to send it to me, but I don't want to see that. So send it to like one of the guys here that's okay with that.
In the meantime, so I have one question for you guys before we move on.
Yeah, because you had a thing about the Rams.
Yeah, but George Sedano, let me ask you something. Yeah. Are you currently in the YouTube live chat, yes or no?
No.
Come on, bro.
I don't care for the
bro,
YouTube live
chat.
Bro,
get involved here, will you? People are calling for
involved.
You. They're clamoring for you in the YouTube live chat.
Okay.
They want you YouTube in there. They want you in there.
I don't have time.
You do have time.
He's even doing a radio show.
I mean, I'm trying to do the show, which is the most important part, instead of just chatting on YouTube.
Well, I mean, I'm multitasking.
Okay.
Over here.
Perhaps maybe that's why, you know, your performance may not be, you know, what it normally is.
Oh, you think I'm distracted, do you?
I mean, perhaps.
All right. Well, let me get you back to this Rams thing. The Rams did not make a trade.
They did not.
There was a report today from Sports Illustrated that the Rams tried to make a gigantic offer, including their 2024 and 2025 first-round draft choices. Now, does this not sound exactly like the Lakers? Like, the Lakers have been considering making a trade, but the holdup is they've got these two first-round draft choices, 27 and 29, and they don't necessarily want to part with them for players that don't immediately make them championship contenders. The Rams, it sounds exactly the same. They've got two picks in the first round, 24 and 25. They were putting them on the table to get a player, George. Tell me if you know who this guy is. Mm-hmm. Brian Burns.
No.
You want to know who he played for?
Carolina Panthers?
That's right.
Yeah.
When was the last time you've seen a Carolina Panthers game?
Actually, this weekend. I saw them a ton on the Red Zone channel.
Okay. With Andrew Siciliano?
Yes, it was with Andrew Siciliano, who was our guest yesterday. By the way, Kirk Morrison will join us in about 5 minutes.
Great. So, Brian Burns. You ask the average person who identifies himself as an NFL fan, who is Brian Burns? They'd be like, I don't know. Who's he play for? I had to look him up. Former first-round draft choice out of Florida State. Was like middle of the first round. This is going back to, I want to say, 2019. I'm not suggesting to you that I'm scouting the way Les Snead is scouting.
Right.
I'm just telling you I never heard of the guy. And according to the reports, the Rams tried desperately to make a move for a defensive end, somebody who can rush the passer.
Yeah, they need it. There's no question about it.
So, no moves
made. But they weren't able to make it work.
Nope, could not. I don't know what Carolina's doing exactly. I mean, two first-round draft choices in 24 and 25. Maybe they're thinking, nah, I'm not worried about then. I'm worried about a little bit more immediate. You know, you guys got any 23s laying around?
No, they got nothing laying
around. Right, that's the point.
But that's their issue, is that they have mortgaged the future. You know what I mean? Like, and this, it worked, though. They got a championship.
Right.
Like, you can only complain so much if you're the Lakers or the Rams fans.
No complaining.
You know?
No complaining at all. Like, seriously, if you're a Rams fan, I mean,
especially if you're a Rams fan.
Right.
Like, if you're a Lakers fan, the expectation is you're going to do this, like, you know, forever. And I understand that. But for the Rams, like, you just got here, like, 8 minutes ago.
Well, not only that, but you won a Super Bowl by going all in 1 year. And of the guys who were major contributors to that game, a lot of those guys, star of your offensive line, one of the stars of your defense, a second defensive player that, you know, helped lead you right to the Super Bowl championship, even though he didn't play for you all season long, not to mention a wide receiver that was having an MVP caliber game, got hurt and hasn't been back and hasn't been heard from and hasn't been properly replaced, etc. So you got your championship and you got it at home. You got to continue to celebrate that and then deal with reality, which is it's not likely going to happen back-to-back years.
Correct. And by the way, it doesn't happen in back-to-back years for very many teams.
In very many sports.
Right. So it just is what it is. Take it and roll with it. We're going to roll with the punches here, and Kirk Morrison is going to join us. We'll talk Rams. I want to talk everything with him. I want to talk trade deadline, Rams, I want to talk Raiders. I want to talk Chargers. I want to talk all this stuff with him because I feel like there's a lot to kind of nibble on today with the trade deadline today in the National Football League. So Kirk's going to join us. Obviously, he's a big part of the station, big part of our Rams coverage, and former NFL player, played for the Raiders. So we'll talk to
big
him in
part
a couple
of our
minutes.
Softball game.
He was. He had a big home run.
Two.
Two. He should have saved you, but you choked it away. You choked the lead away. Basically,
that's true.
That's true.
Me and Kurt Sandoval did.
Yeah. More you than Kurt Sandoval, who tried to make a crazy catch in this.
Kurt Sandoval
field,
is still dealing with.
All right, we got to go. Laura says we got to go. All right, what you need to know in between, Kirk is next.